AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, Challenge family. Devin Simone here, and you are listening to a new episode of MTV's official Challenge podcast. You guys, this is it. We just saw who won. We have new champions. Did you see that coming? Like, okay, if you look back throughout the season, did you have on your scoreboard that it would be Tori and Devin taking home the win? I feel like they put a pretty strong performance, like showing pretty much the whole way through the season, certainly halfway through. So excited for them. Also excited to have them on this episode. We're going to get into everything about the finale, the final, what we didn't see, all the goodies, how they were really feeling. We'll find out how long some of those pieces really took. You'll be surprised. And so much more. I think you'll learn a lot about them too. But this season overall, you know, it had some highs. It has some lows. How are you guys feeling about it? I feel emotional. And no, it's not that time of the month. I feel emotional. I think it just, there were some really great people on the season. And, you know, Nelson had a shining season. And we got to see Olivia and Horacio just crush it this season, and just full of surprises and twists and turns. And it was just so much fun to really watch and be a part. And of course, to share it all with you guys. I think something that we're going to start doing, I'm going to test it out. All right. Let me know what you think about it. But I'm going to test out giving an Icon of the Season award, because I think, of course, we have our champs. You know, we do our gold stars and timeouts of the week, or, you know, sometimes we do our side eye of the week. But I think that we should honor someone who just really was a standout. And while there are a lot of people who I think deserve the nomination, like Amber, I also think Nelson deserves a nomination for Icon of this Season. I'm going to say Olivia. Olivia and Horacio, really. It's going to be a twofer, because every single time they showed up this season as rookie, anything thrown at them. We heard in last week's episode when we talked to the showrunner, the HBIC, Emer, she even said that as rookies, anything that was thrown at them, they took it in stride. They didn't quit. Even when Olivia hurt her face, she was still ready to go. So I'm going to give them the first official Icon of the Season award. Congratulations, you guys. You really deserve it. For this particular episode, we got to still do our gold stars and our timeouts. I'd say that our timeout of the week actually is going to go to that damn maze. That thing was big. It was scary. I was expecting people to jump out from the woods. I don't know. It was giving me like corn people vibes. It was really cool to watch, but a little scary as hell. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the timeout of the week goes to the maze. It was a little creepy. I'm going to need it to back up. Okay. Just back up off the people a little bit. And the gold star of the week goes to our challenge champs. Say what you want to say. They just displayed everything you want to see in a winner this season. I think they did, both in the way that they won, the way that they won with grace, the way you could feel the unity of everyone there. And you saw Anissa and Jordan rooting for them, and Olivia and Horacio as well. And then them offering to share some of their money with the remaining finalists. Just really a spectacular and beautiful moment all around. We got to see Banana's show vulnerability. We don't get to see that often as well. Like, you guys, it's all the feels, all the heartwarming. Such a beautiful season. So glad we got to share it with you guys. Hope you guys had fun watching it. I know I did. So good. Like, that's what it's about. I feel like when we watch the challenge, and you'll love to hear some of the things that Devin and Tori reveal when we get into this interview, things that they learned while competing, things that they would tell themselves, sort of their younger challenge selves. And if you're out there listening, hoping to one day compete on the challenge, you're definitely going to want to listen for some of the wisdom and gems that they drop on this episode as well. So do what you need to do, but whatever you do, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with an interview with our challenge champs, Tori and Devin, right after this.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
We have the Ride or Dies, Dave and Dave, or Devin and Tori, whatever you'd like to call them. But no matter what you call them, make sure you include their newest title, which is Challenge Champions. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you for having
us. Pleasure to be here.
Don't get all quiet on me now, Devin. There we go. I am so excited. Can I just say, just seriously, well-deserved. Well, round of all the rounds of applauses. So well-deserved. Such a beautifully played game. What do you guys think you brought differently to this season? Like, looking back, and given that you guys both have so much experience in the Challenge House, like, as individuals, and then we can talk about as a team, but what do you think you brought differently to this season than seasons prior?
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but I mean, that's actually the... That's the truth, right? It was like, neither one of us really shifted our gameplay too much, our individual gameplay, but it was just like a serendipitous fusion of different tactics that really, I mean, we were on thin ice there in the beginning and we dodged a few rough patches, but it's tough to explain. I never thought that it would really feel this way. Like so many things have to go right that it's like, I don't know. I don't really know how it happened, to be honest, in watching it back.
Yeah. I mean, who is this humble Devin that we are seeing in this moment? Can I just say that even if you guys don't recognize it, Tori, we've talked about this a little bit this season on the podcast, but there's been such growth with you as individuals. As a viewer, it's apparent. Tori, you've talked about the emphasis of really taking time and creating space for your own emotional well-being and your mental health. And Devin, you've been seen as, you know, the jokester, you know, the smart one. You came out with a banana hammock one season, like all sorts of things. But I feel like we still saw the jokester in the fun side. But like when times got tough, like the way you guys united as a team and supported one another just spoke volumes about, I don't know how you guys handle your relationships and as individuals. Is there anything, like, watching it back, do you at least see some of that growth?
Definitely. I mean, I think that that's the reason why, and I was saying this while we were there, like, we wanted the win, but, like, I think the win was like, okay, we're ready to want you back. I think, at least for me personally, it took so much growth to be, like, accepting of myself. And then finally, like, when you are faced with these, like, ridiculous obstacles that you have to do, like, that elimination at the end that took 6 hours, like, you have to stay calm and be prepared to do that. And after you've kind of, like, faced yourself in a way, you kind of trust that you can get through anything on the outside. As corny as it sounds, it's just the most true thing. And I think that being champs is proof of that. But, like, also it takes luck. So I think it's a combination of luck and then hard work.
Yeah, it's that, like, I went so hard in the off season. So that, like, one thing that I haven't really shared, I guess, publicly is, like, the mental beating that that final in Spies, Lies, and Allies put on me. Because I was, like, heavy in the lead in the first portion of that. And and then our team won every checkpoint. And to lose because I couldn't get my ass up a hill was like, I was like, bro, you A, talk a lot of shit. And you're kind of fucking up. And B, like, if you actually, you claim to show up every season and want to win, but you're not putting your body in a position to be able to win. And it was like a really hard realization that I had to make. And so I do see what you're saying about growth in that sense, for sure. Like, I feel that way myself. It was just more for me, it was like, oftentimes I think people look in the mirror and they see what they want to see instead of what's actually there. And a lot of people live in, like, a self-delusion. And realizing and being self-aware on the things that you need to work on isn't, like, a bad thing. It's actually the best thing you can do. And so that that was, like, that loss hurt so bad that I was like, I will never feel that way again. And just ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. And it sucks. I hate running. I hate it. It's stupid. If you get runner's high, if you like running, I hate you. You're on the list. but it's just, you just, sometimes you have to do the things that you don't like to do. And I'm willing to do the things that I'm not good at. And is Tori. And I think that's truly what separates us as challengers, is a lot of people want the things that they're good at to be what you need to have to win.
Right.
So they're trying to force it. They're trying to cram around peg in a square hole and just be like, I can, you know, do this with brute strength, or I can do this just with endurance or whatever. It's like, no, you have to work on your weaknesses. If half these kids just went on Amazon and ordered a fucking remedial math book, they would be
not a remedial math book.
I swear, I've said it in several episodes. Half the cast doesn't know how to divide by two. And that is not, that is a solvable problem, everybody. That is a solvable scenario.
So speaking of which, I mean, you, the way that you work strategically and sort of just solving, you know, puzzles and things, and just, and the way you're methodical and you maintain a level of calm about it, while you were doing all this running in the off season to prepare yourself for this season, are there, like, activities that you kind of practice to maintain your mental agility? Is this just, you know, I'd have to think some of it is just a natural skill, but are there things that you do to kind of sharpen your mind so that you're ready for any of these, you know, sort of curveballs that TJ throws your
way? Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't stress enough how seriously I took in training to lead up to this. And oftentimes, and I believe this, like, wholeheartedly, you have to train in the way that you're going to compete. So, like, if I'm in the gym or if I'm running, I don't have headphones in, right? Because I'm not going to have headphones in the challenge. Oh, like, a lot of people, a lot of people put themselves in positions like, yeah, of course it's easy. You got in 120 beats per minute, someone screaming like motivation lyrics in your ear, you're going to be, but where's it at when that's not there? When the only voice in your head is your own internal monologue, where are you at then? And if I do listen to something, it's like an educational podcast, which is interesting.
I know, right?
Yeah, but that's like
never.
Yeah, and I do, like, I ordered a bunch of little puzzles on Amazon, and, like, when I'm at the gym, when I'm in my, like, breaks or whatever, I'm doing, like, a little pocket tanagram. People must think I'm fucking nuts. I'm at water aerobics doing pocket tanagrams outside the pool during the breaks. It's like it's a lot.
That is so smart, Devin. Yeah. That's like so good, though. That's like literally such a brilliant, brilliant idea. Okay, let's break down some of this final. So it is the law. We had Emer on last week. God love her. She's also nuts because she came up with this. But when you heard it was going to be 100 hours, mm-hmm. like think back to that quick moment. What was your initial thought, okay. each of you?
Honestly, of course, when you're 100 hours, it's like a daunting, like, oh my gosh, endless work. But then the thing about finals, which I think is always difficult, is to pace yourself. You need to know kind of start and end time because you need to know how long you have energy for. So it was actually kind of a blessing to know 100 hours because then you knew the finish line. And I think it actually made it mentally easier. Like if they would have just said you're going to be going for days, that would have been like a different type of nervous experience. And who knows how we would have performed. I mean, I just know, like, when I'm doing anything, I, like, start and finish. So
same, same,
it was
girl.
Easy to wrap my mind around it.
I would say, too.
Same. What about you, Deb?
So, like, I knew right off the rip when they said 100 hours, like, I have so much confidence in Tori. She's just, a outstanding athlete and a really driven person. I knew she wasn't going to quit. So I felt like... Mm-hmm. When they said that, I was like, oh, advantage us for sure.
Right.
Because yeah. we're never going to, we may have like moments where, like brief moments where we yell at each other in the moment or whatever, but it's immediate, I'm sorry. And yeah. and hug and we're good. Right away. And so I mean, we had seen Olivia and Horacio struggle in the mini final with communication. Obviously, Jordan and Anissa weren't setting any precedents for a couple communication goals. And Nani and Bananas, I just felt like we had an edge on them in communication just based off of everything, the pressure. I felt like it was a lot of pressure for them to get Nani her first win. And I think Bananas was putting, I had conversations with him about this, that he was putting a lot of pressure of like being, for lack of a better term, the knight in shining armor that shows up and like helps mm-hmm. her get her win. And so I thought mm-hmm. just mentally we were in the best place. And Jordan has said this several times before, and I wholeheartedly agree with it now that I can run more than a mile without shitting my pants. the harder, the better. Like yeah. weed them out. Like, so let's yeah. see who really, let's see how bad you want it. Cause I guarantee you don't want it more than either one of us.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm with you, Tori. I think knowing, hearing you articulate it like that, it's a really good point that at least knowing the start and finish in your mind, even though you guys don't have like clocks and watches and all of that, you can kind of be like, all right, we're check, almost like the checkpoints, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense, the sort of knowing. Mm-hmm. Devin, your calm under pressure is remarkable. And you doing these tan grams while on the treadmill and all these other things, I think, paints a picture of why some of that may be. But what else do you think allows you to remain calm under pressure? And have you always been like that? Or where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, shout out to my mom. She is an absolute legend, total warrior, really like truly, everyone says this about their mom, but like truly the best and strongest person I've ever known. She had a really difficult life and she just like classic, I will not let this defeat me mentality. But she's really into holistic healing, or was when I was a kid. I mean, she still is, but so she was doing Reiki for a while. And like, I had severe ADHD as a kid, but my parents didn't really believe in like putting me on speed. So she would do like Reiki on me before I went to school. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with Reiki, but it does require you to kind of like sit there and be calm. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was just ingrained in me from an early age that like I to try to calm my mind. Because of that practice, and like what I do with cold exposure therapy, when you're in a heightened like state, the best thing to do is remain calm. And so like to answer the question briefly, I think for like 15 years, the first 15 years of my life, I was like in a mode of panic. So my baseline mm-hmm. for panic is just like super, is way lower. When I get mm-hmm. in that mode, right. I just have so many things that I've like maybe for some other people it would be triggering, but for me it feels like almost a sense of relief, like, oh, I was born here, like I get it, like I can do this, no problem.
I was born in the darkness.
I was like a wild fucking kid, like pretty bad, got expelled from three schools, like it was pretty bad.
I feel like that's not that shocking.
Which
is why it's so amazing to see your growth like this, Devin, like where you are now. For those who aren't familiar, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this episode, cold exposure therapy, can you give people who don't know a little bit like what exactly that is?
Yeah, so I have to do another shout out to my main man Sam Whiting, who's a certified Wim Hof instructor, and he got me into cold exposure therapy like 3 or 4 years ago, and the concept is to do exactly as it says in the title, which is expose yourself to the cold. And oftentimes, so like the easiest way for us to do that, natural cold exposures is personally my favorite, because like if you're out there in nature, it's really cool. So we go in the river in the winter, November to probably April, and the temperatures at that time can vary anywhere from like 55 down to 32 degrees. Moving, obviously, wow. Water freezes at 32, but it doesn't if it's moving. So we've had a couple 31 degree dips. But the idea there is that you're really fucking cold. Like obviously it's cold. No one's going to say you're not cold. But in that fight or flight moment, can you settle in and can you send the energy that you've built, that you have stored in your body to your extremities so that you don't get literally frostbitten? So it's just a practice of sending energy out to the places that need it. And so it where that translates kind of as a metaphor is if you're in a state of panic, you need to send your energy to your brain to calm down. A lot of people get flustered, and you'll see sometimes that's why people get like red faced or flushed or whatever, because blood is rushing to their head because they're trying to think of something to do. It's like the worst thing you can do is panic. And in the cold, if you panic, you're fucked. You have to stay calm and you have to just control your breathing and kind of manage your energy output.
Yeah. So it's like regulating your nervous system. It's like an exercise in working how to regulate your nervous system, which explains, we talked about this a few episodes ago, but when you guys did that puzzle where you had to meet in the ice bath, you know, to like exchange information. And I literally said, how the hell are Tori and Devin sitting there like they are chilling on the front porch of the lawn? Like you guys seemed not flustered at all. I was like, I mean, yeah, well now, like, so you have these Jedi like powers basically, so like you play it like this cool chill guy, you're like, ah, whatever, like let's go to the bar. Really you are training like the next Karate Kid on the back end. And then you get paired with your bestie for life. And then it makes sense that you guys dominate. Okay, let's talk about where we picked up in this episode of the final. So you see the helicopters, all right? And you have the chalk bomb challenge. How are you guys going into that day, knowing that you no longer have the lead? And then when you see what you're going to be doing, how are you guys feeling about it in that moment?
Definitely nervous. I mean, we had a lead up until the spaghetti, and that was kind of like, oh, like that's a shitty place to lose a lead, because you don't go home and try to shove an Olive Garden menu in your mouth and time it. You don't train for that stuff.
So, and we didn't know we were going to be up against Lil Spaghetti. I mean, is Nani. That's her hip hop name, is Lil Spaghetti. and she threw up in Banana's pocket and kept going. So it was like,
dude, Jesus. They were incredible.
Yeah, we weren't winning that one. That was
no one was going to beat them. They were so good at
but
it.
But brilliant when you guys melted the ice cream, by the way. I saw you guys.
Nani's idea.
But it looked like you guys, because when they cut to the episode, so Nani was the one stirring it, right? And I saw her say, like, don't try and steal my idea, which is super cute. But then when you guys did it, it literally looked like chocolate milk. Devin, like, did you hold it near the fire or something?
Devin started pouring water in it. So instead of just stirring it basic, you added water to it just to like truly make it more of a milkshake.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Was it nasty?
Oh, but that part, I mean, like at that point, everything was, it was just about fitting it in. It tastes great. So like the throw up after was delicious. Is that as bad as this guy?
Yeah, I forgot about that. I was throwing up for like 3 days, like little tiny little like chocolate milk throw ups. And I was like, oh.
Oh my God, that is wild. Absolutely wild. Yeah. Okay, so back to the chalk bomb. Mm-hmm. you guys are getting ready to get on this helicopter.
Yeah.
It was... You end up crushing it, but it seemed like people really struggled. What do you think was the hardest part of that particular checkpoint?
Devin was literally doing a trigonometry up there. So he was solving the, like, he was figuring out when to throw it based off of the speed that we were arriving. I'm just over there kind of like doing my best. And I think that, like, that's something about Devin. Like, this is where people will never be able to sleep on him again. And they probably should have never in the past. You have to have a brain like that. You can train it. Yeah, sure. But Devin naturally does have a brain where he can walk up to anything and, like, figure out a way to figure it out. So he was just – he absolutely dominated that part, and we wouldn't have won it without him. I think I only made two. He made, like, eight. Mm.
This is a point, and we can totally cut it out, Dev, if you want to, but something that's interesting that you called out, because you are, like, just brilliant in so many ways of this, and you mentioned that as a kid you had ADHD, right? I have ADHD.
Also. I think you always have it. I think it's like being an alcoholic.
Well, yeah, yes, you always have that. It's like being an alcoholic, but yes, you do always have it. But it's a form of neurodivergence, meaning your brain literally does think differently and solve differently. And while people sometimes think that ADHD is a disability, it's actually when you can channel it a superpower, because it allows you to think. I mean, that's literally what neurodivergence is thinking differently than others. And episode after episode this season, and especially in this episode in the final, we see how everyone else is reacting, rightfully so, to stress, all these random things thrown at you. You know, your brain has to be solving 12 things at a time, and yet your brain is able to just be like, nope, okay, this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And I dare say, I am no psychiatrist, but I dare say that that is a part of your ability to channel that ADHD and that neurodivergence has made you a rock star in that way. Like, you've been so proactive in it, in a way that I don't think can necessarily be taught, and really is a superpower, which is so cool. So anyone listening who maybe has ADD or ADHD, hi, welcome to the club. Mm-hmm. But also just know that, like, look, you could be like a Devin in that way, and problem solving, if you really channel it, because
I don't know if I should be the model of anybody's child.
No, okay, maybe not as a child, and not the bar part, but certainly in your ability, though, to problem solve, like, a hands down.
Oh, that's a really nice compliment.
Your ability to problem solve.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Your ability to communicate, Dev, like, you know, like the first time we ever did Aftermaths, you were wild. And seeing you really just kind of like grow in this space has been really just fascinating. So back to the bomb, you doing the math and sort of telling Tori, like, okay, you got to do it ahead of time, you know, beforehand to land on it. After you guys get back down and you're watching the other teams, did you have a strong sense that you would hit more targets, or was it too hard to track in real time when you were on the ground?
I say this in the episode, and I was very surprised at, no offense to Anissa, I thought Jordan was going to throw all 15 of those. If I'm a coach and I'm looking at this, I mean, I get it. Everyone wants to give it a go. I thought he was throwing all 15. I was shocked that he didn't pick this up, because we are like-minded in the sense that typically you watch Jordan not make the same mistake twice in a physical event. He's very good at adjusting his strategy on the fly, and he's very good at burying his ego in game time and being like, this did not work. I'm not going to keep smashing my head against the wall. I'm going to switch up my strategy. So I was very surprised that he didn't catch on faster. He got it towards the end, but I thought he was going to murder it. I mean, we came down and we were like, I think we thought we got 11. So there must have been one on there that was close. And I thought I was like, a pretty good estimator. I'm like, that if someone beats that, they're not going to beat it by much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jordan would have to go, I mean, he would have had to shoot 70% from a helicopter if he shot if he did all 15. But I thought Nani and Bananas got a good shot, because he's a sneaky good gamer. So I was just hoping it was enough. And it was like, what I'm learning kind of in this conversation too, which is probably something I should have recognized a long time ago, is like, what I consider common sense isn't for other people and vice versa.
Exactly.
And vice versa. Like the way my brain processes things is just, I'm just like, oh, duh. Like I wouldn't even think about trying to do it a different way. I would just do it that way. But there's, there's stuff that I'm really bad at that other people like comes to them, you know, like second nature, which I, again, I think that's one of the reasons why our dynamic as a team was so effective is because we actually do think very differently. And there's moments throughout this final where you see that when Tori recognizes the pattern
Tori.
In the puzzle. Like I would have never seen, I was shocked at myself that I didn't recognize that. I'm usually like pattern guy. I'm seeing, I mean, I'm looking at the tiles to see if any of them have the same, like, you know, structure to them. So it was like that. It just that when I say serendipitous and like it kind of felt almost like fate in a sense at how well the two of us matched, our skill sets matched up and we filled in each other's weaknesses. And so the helicopter thing, obviously that was like a strength of mine. And we did the similar thing that Anise and Jordan did where I think like halfway through you were like, no, you got to throw these other ones.
Yeah, I did. I gave Deb more.
So that's another thing. Like, it's just like that, those little micro details of just doing it for the win instead of like, oh, this is about me. It's like, who gives us the best chance at this? We were both willing to take a back seat at certain points if the other person had a better opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, I love this. But some of us didn't get $38,000 given to us, so we got to pay some bills real quick. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Now you get to this corn maze. Did it feel haunted? Because it looked scary as hell for a brief moment. Did you feel like there were spirits in there or like a scarecrow was going to jump out at you?
Tori, you got to tell them how badly we thought we fucked this up.
Okay, yeah, okay. So
this was nuts. And this was in the episode. And we were screaming. Shook.
Yeah, so as we obviously, for the record, this final is taking every twist and turn you can imagine. And I just want everybody to remember that at this point, we are on like 4 days of the final now, and you don't know what's coming up your way. So when you arrive to a cornfield, and like we obviously have a quick stop down where we have to put on this new gear because it lights up, you just, this whole attitude change starts to happen. And you're like, you're just kind of going with the flow of whatever's being thrown at you. But when we come up to the corn maze, there's two keys on one side and then one key on the other side. And we get there first. And so now we have to choose, are we going to go right or are we going to go left? And so
hold on, though.
Devin's like,
hold on.
Okay, what?
In my last phone call, I called my mom and I asked her because I thought I was going to have to pick daggers again. And I knew there was only a few guys left, so I assumed that there would only be two options. And so I asked her, if ever I have to come to a situation and I need to pick left or right, which way should I go? And she said, well, I'm a lefty, so go left.
Mm-hmm. So we decide to go left. We take the key. Obviously, there's two keys on the left side. There's one key on the right side. So like we're like, oh, whoever gets here first would probably pick the right key because there's one there.
Because
so, like,
one.
So you would assume. But Devin says, pick left. My mom's left-handed. So we take the left key. We go. We arrive. Couple moments later, that's when Nani and Bananas arrive. And then we realize Anissa and Jordan are at another camp. We can't see them. So we're like, oh, my God. What if they got, like, an air mattress? And, like, that was the gift for arriving there early.
We thought that that giant structure with all the lights was, like, their little penthouse. And they were when you see Tori sitting on the cot in this episode, she's like stewing. She's like, your stupid mom, she's close to the left.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I'm sorry. Pepperoni sandwich. I was like, what?
All love to your mom because it works out. And I want to explain why it works out.
Exactly.
So then we get released a second time to then go into the maze. And TJ's like, find your way. And then that's when Devin says, so I had already pretty much reamed him out for making us go left. And he's like, all right. I'm like, which way do we go now? And he's like, that's on you. And so I'm like, all right, well, we went left last time. So that's why you hear me say, all right, let's go right. And actually, our path, the path we chose, was the direct path to TJ.
Yeah.
We were there, I'm not kidding, 5 minutes earlier than the other teams. We got, we had the direct path there. And the only reason why I picked right was because we picked left first. Obviously, the whole thing was important because, like,
so technically, Devin's mom
was right.
Really is the MVP of this season. She just set it up. She wanted you guys to do a little work for it.
And but, I take her to the corn maze. One of the, like, we like to go on like dates, like dates. And so one of the places that we go is to a corn maze every fall. We go to a corn maze, Mike's Maze, and we do the corn maze together. And there's like little riddles in there, and we get a fucking donut.
So you really were just built for this season.
I was like, dude, we walked into the corn maze, and I was like, check please.
Right, like who does, like literally everything weird that was thrown at you this season, you're like, oh yeah, no, I do that at the treadmill. Like, oh, I do that regularly. We go to the corn maze. Like, my God, like, yeah. Brilliant. That's so great. Well, shout out to Devin's mom for ultimately securing the win this season. When you guys found out, like this whole time that you're running the final, did it ever cross your mind that there would be another elimination at some point before actually reaching the very end? Devin, you're shaking your head no. So you didn't think that there would be another.
I was so shook. And it, like, if I ever play this game again and I think something, I'm just going to tell myself to shut up. Because I was 0-50 in my plots, and I thought for sure it was, you know, gonna be a race as most others are, and I just made an assumption like an idiot, and it was wrong again. And we have to assume, right? I don't know if this has been confirmed or not. We have to assume there was going to be another elimination.
There was. It was confirmed last episode.
It was confirmed?
It was going to be.
Okay, because Olivia and Horacio are supposed to be there. By the way, in this last moment there with the cinder blocks and the chains and everything, they had the best chance. Olivia and Horacio had the best chance in retrospect. They had the best chance of beating us. If they had gotten there with us, they would have beat Nani and Bananas only because I know Horacio would have methodically made that puzzle and he never would have stopped. He would have fucking killed himself before he stopped. So he would have, and Olivia, obviously we've seen Olivia's gas tank and her drive to continue on. So if they had messed that up, they would have undone it and did it again. So the sabotage, although I feel badly that we broke her face in five places,
I mean, seriously.
It was the best chance.
Nice. I can't believe you guys did that. Did you guys, were you shocked when Nani, because you know, on this show, we talk about quitting a lot, right? And like, you know, how challengers never quit. And in this season, especially, we saw many moments of Ultimate Warriors really wanting to fight through. I mean, Olivia was still trying to strategize while her behind was in the back of an ambulance. Anissa, you know, was crying out in pain, but was like, give me the ball. And TJ was like, should we give her the ball? We see all of that. And to see Nani and Bananas just stop was really interesting. So what can you tell us around the timing of, you know, was it even feasible? And then also what you think you would have done, each of you, if the roles were reversed?
Okay. Well, let's just put it into perspective like this. That whole elimination actually took 5.5 hours. That entire thing. Wow. Each room took about, aside from the spears in the beginning, that was 30 minutes. Every room after that was at least an hour to an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So that's how much time it took. They were stuck on the cinder blocks for so long. They were probably an hour behind us at one point. And not only that, they buried a crucial piece. Yeah. So there were certain little things. I don't think that they quit. I think that they literally hit a point where they're an hour and a half behind us. What are they going to do?
Yeah. It was also, we didn't know. This is how mentally like confusing this game is. Our friends are over there. Right? Anissa, Jordan, I mean, at this point, Olivia and Horacio were much closer with us than they were with Bananas and Nani. And they're telling us, we're in the change room, and they're telling us, like, no, 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 guys, like, you can chill. They're still in the cinder blocks. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, no, they're lying. They're lying to us to try to get us to slow down. Like, it's so, the paranoia that crept in that moment was crazy, because we couldn't see them. We were in there once. Yeah. Once we got in there, also, I think I still have dirt in orifices.
I'd imagine
it was everywhere. The dirt was probably one of the harder things I've done, and that was a big risk too, because we could have got buried in there.
Mm-hmm. Watching it back, like seeing how that whole section was, what, 10, 15 minutes of the final. Mm-hmm. It took 5.5 hours in real life. I just want to stress how hard that was. In the airport on the way home, I could not even close my hands because of how hard it was to pull the chain out.
Yeah.
And you just like shredded your hands. I had bruises all over. Like, this was like the hardest.
We don't believe you. You guys made it look so easy. Also, can I say, at a portion in the final, I talked about this last week, after hour 50, okay, everybody's coming out. Clearly, you guys haven't, like, really washed or whatever. You step out of your tent, Tori, looking like a Revlon ad, okay? Your hair was silky and shiny. Yeah. And I was like, how? My hair barely looks that good when I've just gotten a blowout. How does Tori step out? And literally, it was like flowing and brushed. I'm like, in what world and how? I'm obviously kidding, and we believe you that it was 5.5 hours and hard, but you guys really did, both in keeping your composure and your communication and being just so tenacious, as Young Dagger liked to say in a lot of his interviews, that you guys made it look, I don't want to say easy, but you just did it with such like swagger and grace that made it easy for an armchair quarterback to watch on and be like, oh, that looks fun. I could do that.
Yeah, that was, I want to speak just to that point real quick, because I think it's really important to say this. I think that there's moments throughout this whole season when you have to rely on your partner for like a boost, like literally like getting a mushroom in Mario. Like, you need like an injection of something, whatever it is. And over and over and over and over again, Tori had that for me constantly throughout the entire game. And it doesn't show. I was surprised that it didn't show in this episode, like her, I don't know how to, you're like motivating me throughout the final two rooms. Because it's come to a point where it's like, I started to wonder, after preparing the way that I prepared for this final, is like, how much gas do I have in the tank? And even before I would even like verbalize, or right when the timing of her consistent motivation, was like spot on. It was like, if a thought started creeping in my head, it's like she was synced up and was like, nope, fuck that thought, go.
Yeah.
It was like over and over and over and over again. So it's like, I think if someone were to go back and watch this season, knowing the outcome and all how all the eliminations play out, the teams that had that X factor, we saw Nelson and Nerese, I think they had it often. I think Jay and Michelle had it often.
Fessy and Mariah, for sure.
Fessy and Mariah had it.
I'm just kidding.
I think, in the beginning when they won, but yeah, as obviously that later in the season. That X factor is what separated the teams. I firmly believe that is like it was the pairs that really valued each other as equals that, as you go back and watch this, really dominated the game.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Dave. I definitely
Hell yeah.
like when we were in there, like especially digging through the stuff, I mean, it was endless. You're doing it, but our motive was slow motion is better than no motion.
Yeah.
So it was like we were just like, even if it's slow, we don't stop. We don't stop. And 5.5 hours later, you know, it was over.
So. And that's my motto in the bedroom, too. So
I was about to say, it was easy to roll that over.
That's
kind of sexy. There we go. Slow motion is better than no motion.
Do something, Devin.
Love that so much.
Anything
so
else.
What do you think? Oh, God. What do you think? What were your biggest surprises for each of you? Like, what would be one thing that surprised you guys most from this season? And then who would be a team that surprised each of you the most this season?
The team that surprised me the most, probably Olivia Naracio, because, I mean, dude, what a fucking season, right? Like, the moment they walked up, I'm like, oh, like a pretty Barbie girl, like blonde hair, like beautiful big eyelashes, gorgeous. And then, like, he looks like...
Not you underestimating Barbie. You know she had every job in the book.
I underestimated Barbie big time.
She had every job in the book. That was funny. Super well-rounded.
Yeah.
She is.
So definitely they surprised me most. And then I guess what surprised me more than that was, like, I think Devin kind of mentioned this before, is, like, you can't really explain when you feel like something is meant for you. Mm. Like, when we were there, even going up to the final, like, I just knew we were going to win. And I didn't – it's not, like, this cocky feeling. It's just this, like, there's something inside me that truly believes it. And I think that really surprised me, like, that confidence and that calm, which I don't experience ever. I never experienced it in another final before. So I think that is what really took me by surprise. I think there is a moment – internally, when you know you're about to accept a big win, maybe your body knows before you get it. And I think I felt that, and that was really cool.
Yeah, you guys, we could see that calm.
Yeah, they call it a flow state.
A flow state, sports,
where it's like Steph Curry pulls up from 40 feet and like shoots it and turns around before the ball even goes in, and he knows it's already in. I felt that way a little bit. I felt like Curry pulling up from 40. I was like, no one can guard me today.
It felt like Patrick Mahomes does most weeks. I get it. It's like
fire.
What about Hurts, though? What about Jalen Hurts, though?
Well, tread lightly, ladies. This interview will air.
I know.
One of you is going to be a big-time loser when this comes out.
That's why I said most days, just to clarify and cover my tracks, just in case. But that's, yeah, that I can, you guys, that calm, I feel like, was sort of palpable in watching you all throughout the season. Tori, we've talked about the emotional roller coaster you went on, right? You know, you went from terrorist of love to challenge champion. I've called my dog terrorist of love, actually, though, like last few weeks because of you. But, you know, how does that play into your feelings about this season overall? Is there anything you would change looking back on it? Do you feel like that made the win even sweeter? We see you hugging Jordan, or at least Jordan sort of bear hugging you right after you won. Mm-hmm. You know, how does that all feel, given that you've gone through, I think, probably more than a lot of the challengers this particular season, just given the circumstance with Jordan, you know, your ex-fiance being in the house?
Yeah, well, First of all, very thankful to have Devin by my side the entire time and for him to be as like open-minded as he was about it, because I know I was a lot sometimes, but he was always like a good person to talk to about it. So he was very supportive through the process. I definitely just feel like I wouldn't change a thing because, and Devin has said this before, if you win, then every little thing that you've done that season led up to that win, then you can't change one thing because you don't know how it would affect later things. And if the outcome is to win, then everything was perfect.
Yep.
So I would not change a thing about it. I get to leave this season with closure with Jordan, who we're great friends now. I'm so thankful for our friendship. And as a champ, and I got to share that money. We got to share that money with our friends. Like, this was the most beautiful experience I could have been a part of. I'm so honored that I got to do it with Devin. Like, I wouldn't change a fucking thing. This will be my favorite season for the rest of my life, no matter how many I do. There's never going to be another one like
this.
She's
going to change the 7 to an 8 on her arm. also, I know you just said something funny. You said I got closure with Jordan, but he very clearly leaves the barn door just cracked open there at the end.
He be saying shit. Don't listen to him.
He goes, I don't know where we'll be in 5 or 6 years. Jordan's circling 2028 on his calendar. No one knows what could happen then.
He's going to send you a you up text. You better be careful.
You up in 5 years. He just says shit, dude. He's a showman. I think we love each other. I think we respect each other. We're very thankful where we are now. But I think we know that we're good friends.
Yeah, all things considered, it was a pretty flawless run, even in the turmoil and the challenges that came with Jordan being there. He was a huge part and played in our success. We didn't know this at the time, but like he was keeping me safe on our team. And we didn't know how that could have affected things. Like it was all very, he was very much, like it or not, entangled in our team. And we couldn't separate it. So shout out to Jordan for doing what he did for us.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of doing that, so when did you guys have that moment, which was such a beautiful moment, literally was in tears, which is not why I watched the challenge, dagnabbit, but was in tears from that final episode, not only seeing you guys win, but seeing your speech at the end and giving your teammates, you know, a portion of your winning, spreading that love. When did you guys decide that? Was that before you officially won? Like, how did that conversation, you know, come to be?
Yeah. It
take it away, Dave.
It happened in the chain room. We realized that we were like leaps and bounds ahead of them. So I'm like pulling the chains out. I'm like, all right, so you want to split the money with them? And he was like, let's just fucking win first.
I was like, Dave, shut the fuck up. We haven't even won yet. Don't start writing checks to people, dude. We're like literally in a room full of chains. Tony's trying to hand it out. But yeah, that was. I will always, like, I've said this from the beginning. I've had the opportunity to steal from my partner twice. Once was, I think, 25 grand. Not going to take that. But, I mean, at the time, it was, you know, more meaningful than now. The other one was, like, 180 in second chances. I will always share the money. I will always share the money. Tori will always share the money. Because if you let it, if you let money control you, you are fucked. Also, it got us $14,000 underneath the tax bracket that we would have had to pay.
Which is great.
That was factored.
And there's that neurodivergence, Devin, thinking ahead, like doing the numbers, calculating.
It's either give it to our friends or give it to the government.
That's valid. That's valid.
They deserve it.
That's
though.
How wealthy people do it.
They deserve it.
It made it just such,
and it's very important.
A beautiful moment.
Yeah, it's there are people that in life in general that believe that they did the thing, and it's just like, okay, you did do it, but you didn't do it alone. And recognition of people and the assistance that they gave you throughout the process is really important thing. And so, like, I know I come across maybe like a dick or whatever, or like I'm cocky or arrogant or whatever. I'm so aware of the fact that I need help from people all the time. Mm-hmm. And I am completely mm-hmm. okay with that. And I appreciate and recognize when people have done things for me. Tori's the same way.
Yeah.
She spoke about it several times. And so it's like, we're going to do that in front of all of them, just like devastated with double black eyes and a broken face, a torn ACL. Yeah. Nani just lost her mom. Bananas beating himself up that he couldn't get the win for. Jordan had to live it with me. Like, it was like they all went through fucking the ringer. We're going to sit there and just be like, oh, yeah, thanks, bye, and then get in a van with him. Like, that's not cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just, it really was. It's so beautiful. And you two as individuals, yes, Dev, you can come across as arrogant and cocky sometimes. Although I think people now are leaning into knowing that it's in jest sometimes, you know, like that, you know, like recently you retweeted Fessy's claim of being the top like competitors of all time. And then I retweeted your claim, but said I'm one of the top four female podcast hosts of the Challenge podcast of all time. So, you know, you're playful with it. And I think people who have really gotten to know you see that, but you both as individuals really are very like giving and have giving spirits and lift each other up and other people up outside of the show when cameras aren't rolling. And I've been fortunate enough to experience that even briefly, which is just so cool. And thank you guys. And thank you for continuing the tradition. And I like that you threw that line in there about it being a tradition, you know, so that hopefully that torch gets carried forward around sharing the wins, sharing the love, because ultimately the Challenge family is just that. It is one big ass dysfunctional family, but a place of like love, growth, and in some ways, yes, closer than I think. Banana said it, like closer than blood, because you go through these life altering experiences mm-hmm. that, you know, many people don't have an opportunity to go through. If there was one thing that each of you would want viewers to take away from this season, like one. So for those listening, Devin and Tori, A, are co-parents to a duck named Theo. He's not a real duck. I believe they got him at a garage sale or an estate sale. But they co-parent him. And then also Dev held up, before we started this recording, a pillow that he got from Tori that he claims to have embroidered himself. So they're very much about, like, you know, quotes, inspiration. He's holding up the pillow now. But what would be sort of the quote or the thing that you would want viewers, listeners, Challenge fans to take away from this particular season? Devin, let's start with you.
Sure. This is a tough one because of, I don't know necessarily, I guess, a quote, an actual quote, but I guess just a message that I would want people to take away is, as an underdog and somebody that has been constantly discredited, and honestly, just downright disliked for some reason by a lot of the competitors in the show. I think it's mainly because we have different skill sets, but I won't ramble. Don't have confidence in your own abilities and be willing to work on yourself, and don't see what you want to see. See what's actually there and be self-aware and work on your weaknesses and don't let your failures like shape your future. If you're willing to just go back to the well enough times and you're patient enough and you are hardworking enough, it'll pan out for the most part. So that's what I would say is, like, just have confidence in your abilities, but be willing to put in the work.
Yeah. And what about you, Tori?
I pretty much feel the exact same. Like, my quote would be just be relentless in pursuit of that dream, like truly relentless. If that means that you're coming back for your seventh season, then, and you still haven't gotten it, don't stop. And not only that, but trust the process. I think those are the two things that have really helped me, because sometimes I felt like the path has taken me way, like I was all the way at the end of the corn maze and I was trying to get to the middle, but like maybe that part was so necessary for me to get through whatever it took, because maybe at the center I needed the skill set that part of the corn maze took me at. So as corny as that sounds, oh my God, corny.
Let's go.
But I really feel that way. Like, be relentless with your pursuit of either healing or your dreams. And then at the same time, like, trust the process, because you just never know when something's going to be important and going to help you.
I love that.
I love that so much. Devin, did TJ actually give you that hug? We saw you. You told TJ, "Give me a hug."
I told him that. I told him to hold my body.
Yes, and did he? Did he?
No, he didn't. I'm still waiting on that.
You know? Hopefully, we can make that happen. And Tori, I'm surprised your proudest moment wasn't when you said to the camera that you needed to fart, and instead you peed yourself.
Oh God! Yes. Like they did me so dirty.
I'm glad we're talking about hashtag the fart, because that was electric.
Yeah.
It
the
was
fart that wasn't just a fart, yes.
Yeah. So, wait, you peed?
You know what I'm talking about. Oh, God. They did me dirty with that one. You can see, like, my double chin over the helmet. I'm like...
The face that you make when you say it to you, you're like, oop, I peed.
It was the wave for me. Wow. Looked at DJ and just waved to him. I got a fart. Oops, yes. I peed. Hi. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah,
so
sorry.
Wild.
Sorry.
That's very well, funny. I hope that $1 million allowed you to get some fresh underwear for both of you to take some showers and really just enjoy this time. It has been such a pleasure to watch you all on this journey of the season, and so proud of you, like really genuinely, well deserved. Couldn't have been a more perfect season. Well, except for Olivia's face, that could have been different. But other than that. Yeah. Couldn't have been a more perfect season. You guys played an amazing game, and so excited that you guys are now in the Ring of Champions. So, woo! Well, as you know, I like games, and we do games here on the podcast. So we have a final game for you, Challenge Champs. We have two questions for you about each other. You say your ride or dies. We've seen that, but we really want you to prove it now. And by the way, if you don't win these, then you have to give all your money up.
Aww.
So just so you know, those are the rules. I don't make them. I just abide by them.
I already
spent
it.
So
yeah, good luck getting it from me. It's gone.
Wait, what did you guys buy? What did
you vegan buy? Corn dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You probably did, Tori.
A whole freezer of them. And new underwear. Yeah. Diaper in it.
I spent mine on cotton balls and vegan hot dogs. Like, what?
What were the first things you guys bought after you won?
Money hasn't hit yet.
Well, yeah, I know. I figured, but
we don't got to loot though. But I did. I got my mom a really cool necklace.
Oh, that's cool.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I gave everybody in my family like $3,800 for Christmas. So does that count?
Oh, that's sweet.
You really taking this 38 sweet. Thing seriously.
I know, right? You're right. She's totally going to change that tattoo.
Yeah.
Devin.
Nice. You just keep taking away it. Zeros. Who's getting who's getting $380?
$38.
Yeah. Eventually she's gonna be like, I'm giving you 38 cents for
just keep taking all these zeros.
All right. Okay, so you know we love games on the show. We have a final game for you where we have two questions for you about each other. You say your ride or dies. Now it's time to prove it. This first question is for Devin. Devin, this is a fairly easy one. I feel like you should get this. What is Tori's zodiac sign?
Well, I know her birthday is March 7th, but I don't really know the zodiac signs. I'm an Aries, so she's whatever is before Aries, which I think is... no, it's not that one. No, it's not that one.
You're so close. It's in between Aquarius.
Yeah,
I know it is, but I don't know what it is. I think she's holding up a fish. Pisces.
Okay. Yeah. You totally cheated on that one, you two. So Devin does not get that point.
I know her birthday. I don't know astrology. Sorry, I'm not a 15-year-old girl.
Hey, Devin, maybe that's one of the areas you need to work on, because you never know when you come back. Yeah. That could be the thing. So actually, true. Yeah, in Challenge USA, there were astrology questions as a part of trivia, just so you know. Question for Tori. Devin showed up to prom wearing all one color. What color was it?
Pink.
Okay, you two are cheating. You guys can't see this.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
On Zoom right now. They're cheating. All right. Yes.
It's so obvious. Pink. Duh.
Oh, my goodness, these two. Just when I said you guys were examples, I take it all back. All right, question for Devin. What was Tori's 2021 Halloween costume?
She was a mushroom.
Yes. And they didn't cheat for that answer. Good job, Devin. Yeah. You get the point.
It looked a lot like Toadstool, actually.
Yeah. And this one is for Tori.
What is Devin's favorite beer?
Is it a IPA or pale ale?
Dev, what's the answer? We actually
don't. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's so there I was like, wait a minute, have I announced this somewhere? But yeah, if I were to not be counting cows, I'm having a nice heavy IPA and getting absolutely blasted.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Well, you guys are indeed right. No, that was not 100%. Y'all got 50%.
Seemed a lot like 100.
Not a passing grade. But you guys won this episode and you won this season overall. And I think you won the hearts of a lot of people. So
did we get the gold star?
Thank you so much for being here. No, you will have to listen to see who gets the gold star of this week. Actually, you know what? I was going to give it to you guys.
Yeah! We win again! Eat my butt, everyone!
You got gold star last week. You get gold star this week because I really just loved how you handled your win. It was beautiful to watch. So props to both of you. Now, if people want to continue giving you gold stars or just watch what you're up to, where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Tori_Deal on Instagram. I also have my own personal podcast, Tori Dealing With, where I talk more intimately with people. But yeah, come hang out. Come on Instagram. Come say hi and send me pictures of Dave because I'll reply.
Yeah. And if you want to talk to me,
there we go.
Send a photo of me to Tori. She'll weed through all those. And then if any of you are chill, she'll make a recommendation and I'll reach out.
Oh my gosh.
So just probably that's the easiest avenue to get in contact with me.
There we go. So do what you will. All right. Do what you will in getting connected to those two. Thank you guys again. Congratulations on your win. Woo, woo. Go celebrate. So excited for you both. Can't wait to see what's up next for you guys in the challenge universe. And go enjoy being champions.
Thanks, Devin. Yeah. I'm coming to Fort Lauderdale, Dave.
Yeah, come on. Come over. Let's go to the ocean. I was about to go.
All right, I'm coming over, buddy.
I'm going to run there.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You guys, are you feeling emotional? Is it just me? It can't just be me. I know it can't just be me. That was a wonderful interview with Tori and Devin, otherwise known as Dave and Dave.
otherwise known as our challenge champions. So great. So glad that we got to hear their journey and their story and prove that never give up on yourselves and keep working for the win. And the thing that you might think is your disadvantage could actually be your superpower and win you, you know, $1 million. So learn so much from that. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to keep up with me, you can go to DevonSimone.com. That's Devon with a Y, Simone with an I. You can also follow me on Amazon, believe it or not. Go to Amazon.com/shop/DevonSimone. On my website, it has all my socials. I'm most active on Instagram and Twitter, though, which are both Devon Simone. I've just started my TikTok, so bear with me. And if you liked this episode, in the words of Devon, okay, tell your mama, your friend, your sister, your cousin, your dog, your niece, your nephew, your neighbor. Tell them all. Tell them to listen. Then rate and review. We appreciate you guys giving your reviews and being supportive of us. We do read them. Thank you so much. We're so glad you're here. This isn't our podcast. It's all of ours together. So we appreciate that. So please make sure you rate and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Tell everyone you know. And then, okay, just because we saw the finale doesn't mean it's over yet. Y'all know some people. We got some unfinished business. We want to see if Olivia tells Nelson Alper what's happening with that. So the reunion is next week. The Challenge Ride or Dies reunion. Make sure you check it out. And then right after that, you know, we're going to have a lot of things to say about it. And the girls will be back. So tune in to an all new episode of MTV's official challenge podcast right after the reunion. We'll see you then. Your favorite place to be. Bye, guys.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.